My boys, my team, my guys, the Israeli U23 team mm-hmm. is in Switzerland, and they are laying down the low, putting the smack down on the goyim. שלום וברוכים הבאים לאי כושר הוטדוג, פודקאסט הבייסבול הראשון בעברית עם יוני לברי ואנוכי ארז שץ. שלום יוני.
היי ארז.
יוני משדר 198 המגיע אליכם בחסות טטרש, מסחר ויבוא עצים, כל סוגי העצים מכל רחבי העולם ובאיכות יוצאת דופן. בקרו אותנו בכתובת דרך בן צבי 20 ביפו או באינטרנט team.co.il, כי המחירים שלנו הם לא בדיחת קרש.
נכון.
יופי. Well, יוני, today אנחנו נדבר קצת באנגליש, because I don't know why, you got us the our man in New York, דהי שלנו בניו יורק, גיא לברי.
שלום, ארז. שלום, יוני.
שלום, שלום. מה נשמע?
בסדר,
כל
טוב.
Okay, we can do it in
a group. That's as far as it goes.
That's as far as it gets. As far as it gets, a non-father. So, Guy, you're coming to us, I guess, you also listened to the podcast, and you said, dude, those guys don't know what they're talking about. They need someone who... You know, we get that a lot. You know, people listen, and they say, no, I'll tell you how it's done. So... Today we're going to have something special. Mm-hmm. We had, before the season, we did the usual thing. And I have to say, I hate predicting.
I know.
And that's why Yoni loves it so much. And we make predictions, and it's time to see, are we on the right track? And you can also bring your introspection into that. But before that, Yoni, mm-hmm. ask a question and tell us... happy birthday too.
Okay, Mazel Tov to Anthony Rizzo, who has a lot of time to celebrate it. He's not playing for the last 2 months.
In
a Jack Sanford. Know the name?
Jack Sanford.
No.
Okay, Bake McBride. Deuce's father. Scott Rowland.
All right.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Dick Allen.
All right.
And John Montefusco.
Montefusco.
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you which one did play for the Phillies.
See.
It's also yes in Spanish.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea. It's going to be a wild guess. Anyone?
Who never played?
I don't know. I would say just pick two and I'll pick a third. I don't know.
Dick Allen. I know he played for the White Sox, I think.
Okay, so go with Dick Allen. Only Dick Allen? You want another one?
Can you do both?
Yeah, they said which. Which one did not at any point? Four of them did, and one did not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Dick Allen.
All right.
Only Dick Allen.
Only Dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
I'll go with McBride and Sanford. You have Montefusco.
I think Montefusco. It's a nice name.
So I'm AB, you're D,
okay.
You're E.
Yeah. Okay, first thing I want to give a shout out to my boys. My boys! Mm-hmm. It's my team. I mean, Israel, you know, is in the Olympics. Who cares? My boys, my team, my guys, the Israeli U23 team mm-hmm. is in Switzerland, and they are laying down the low, putting the smack down on the goyim. it's a qualifier, so it's not the thing. They defeated Poland.
To the European? Qualifying to what?
To the U23 European Championship next year. Okay. This year has already happened. So basically they started against the host, the Swiss, and they've decimated them 12-3.
Awesome.
Yeah, they played against Lithuania 15-0.
Wow.
It was, Aviv Bobrov started, but he was sitting for half an hour between each inning because his team was batting around, yeah. So they had to relieve him. And then the Israel beat Poland 9-2. Ivry Margolin got the win. Excellent job. Yeah, we love him here. I couldn't. I sent him a WhatsApp like, good job, and I can't. But seriously, this is the guys that we watched for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now they are...
Other names that we know?
Aviad Schechter, Nadav Margolin, Uri Shani on the bench, the Friesen guys... Nadav Machlin, Avery Margolin, Aviv Bobrov, Tomer Erel, obviously.
Aviv is the only Bobrov there, right?
He's the only
under 23 there.
Yeah, Ido okay. Peled, David Solomon, Itai Spinoza was
What's
excellent.
What's nice in this thing is this real Israel team. Yeah. It's not like... The American Israel guys.
Yeah, not like Sam Paul.
There's a few Israeli guys who are now living away.
But they're us.
Like
they're
the Friesems and what's his name? And the catcher, Ivri. Kolakowski. Ivri, yeah. But I mean, they're like Israelis like Dean Kramer, who's, you know, on the half and half. I mean, they're more Israelis than, I don't know how his Hebrew is, but they are very, I mean...
He's pretty much like Guy, right? His parents... Were born in Israel? Exactly.
I think he was also born in Israel. Oh. No, sorry, because they keep saying it's not the Tzabar, it's not the Tzabar. So he was born there, but he's like, he spent the summer here, and so yeah, he's kind of like, okay, now enough gushing. So, before the season started, we had predictions, Yoni?
We had a host, we hosted the Ofer Bobov to this episode.
Oh yeah, he so also made predictions?
Yeah, we have. His predictions also, so...
All right, that's exciting. Yeah. Okay, so...
So 2 weeks ago we said happy birthday to Ofer Bobov, and now we're going to crush him down.
Okay, I give the bama to you. Please tell us what we did right and what we did wrong.
Okay, I looked at every team, also the teams that we didn't mention.
All right.
I have all the numbers.
All right. Please don't go over everyone.
Let's start with you.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You said
I did
that Baltimore will be above 90.5 wins.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's the thing. I immediately thought to myself, "Oh, come on, Baltimore."
Yeah.
So, they were supposed to be
90.5.
They are on 95.7.
Mhm. Yeah, I did the numbers 3 days ago, so by me they're 95.
All right. Okay, so please continue.
Yeah, so you have 1 point.
Right.
As of now.
But again, that was a given. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, the fact that they were not they were not dominating was interesting because they still have. I mean, I saw them against the Guardians, which we will get to in a moment. And I always said, despite the fact that the Guardians had, they don't have anymore. They had a better record at the time. The Guardians don't look like. First team. No. They look like lucky guys. The Orioles, they give the aura of a great team.
Yeah, but the Guardians, it seems like that's the case every like two few years. They always just come out of nowhere, especially in a historically recent terrible division. In the AL Central. Now the Royals are obviously playing at a...
What do you think about the Orioles? How do you... is this like... because they keep on bringing, you know, Jackson Holliday and now Kobe Mayo and all those guys. They keep on... Their farm is like... They have MVPs and...
Yeah, I think the second best team in the majors are...
The Baltimore Orioles farm.
I think... They have to at least make a step forward from last year.
Yeah, obviously.
They didn't really make any noise in the playoffs at all with a lot of excitement behind them. I don't expect them to go much further than the next round at all in the ALCS. They'll have to make the wild card round and hope that they'd get a bye.
Is this because of youth or they're just a good team for the long run, but...
I think it's youth. I think they have an incredibly high ceiling with their prospects. I am confused by their trade deadline. getting Trevor Rogers.
Eloy Jimenez.
Eloy Jimenez makes a little more sense, even though I don't know why. I would rather have the kid, Hurston Kerstadt. I think when he is given a chance to play, he puts up really solid numbers, especially before his concussion. But with Trevor Rogers, it doesn't seem like they made a move for winning this season, winning right now. He had an extra year of control.
That's a problem, you know, because they were so good at building, they have a problem winning, I guess. Yeah, it sounds weird.
And you thought when they brought Corbin Burns,
Yeah.
The offseason.
That's it.
Here, there, they changed something. Now they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And in this trade deadline, you didn't feel that.
I think they're worried about losing Burns and adding someone like Blake Snell instead of Trevor Rogers. You know, he's going to opt out, and I'm not sure they're confident in how much they're going to willing to pay up to keep those guys.
All right. Carry on, Mr.
Cleveland. Yeah, that's a good...
Okay, my guess was that Cleveland, and I have to say, because I can say like, I told you to listen to the master here, but no, I was thinking there's always going to be someone who will, there's a saying in Hebrew, stuff that floats, what floats. I always says that it's like everyone is going to be down, something is going to be floating up, and my estimation was the Guardians, because I thought they had a solid team with good pitching. Of course, Bieber immediately got injured. But I thought they have good pitching, solid team that's been running for a few years, that can stable the ship. And while everyone else, the Twins and the Tigers and the White Sox are going to go down, they were going to be up. So I said, what was the Guardians thingy?
79.5. Oh, wow.
79.5.
You went under?
Under.
Yeah, you only thought that the Tigers and the Twins and...
The Stephen Vogt seems like a great pick. They are
on course for 95 games. They won't get 95 games. But
3 days ago, they were 99.
Okay, so I said they're not going to make it to 99.
They played against the Orioles. So, I think
they're going to get 90, which is far and above everyone, including Guardians fans. So for me, it's like yay me. All right,
let's take you down a little bit. Kansas City Royals.
I said down.
Yes, 74.5.
All right,
they're going to be much better than that. It looks like they're on their way to 90.
Well, they are actually 5.52, which is not that insane. They're going to be 89-90. Once again, this is the Royals, so they will probably, we have to take a few games down. They will be at 87.
All right.
Which is good for them. Mm-hmm. Anything interesting in that AL Central, other than, of course, the perennial joke is probably a good reason why all those teams have such a great record. But let's ignore the White Sox for a second.
We'll get them.
Why do you think those two teams managed to, because they didn't make any change. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr., but that's, they had him last year and they were, they lost to everyone.
Yeah. I think they do have a sneaky amount of youth, especially with someone as high of a talent as Bobby Witt Jr. And I think they did a great job in terms of getting him to sign that long-term extension.
Yeah.
Before, he would make a crazy amount of money once he would hit free agency.
Yeah, your good friend Carlos Rios is basically saying, like, that's why you need an agent. Why do you think Acuna is making $10 million a year? He can make 35.
Yes.
That's why you need an agent. We were joking that if Blake Snell was going to get traded this trade deadline, Boras would fire Blake Snell.
So, and then he threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, but again, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Come on.
It's not a nut. That's a little bit more than a nut.
Okay, the only amazing thing here is that he threw 9 innings. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Okay, we'll get back to the White Sox later on.
Yes,
we will. We're moving up with theirs, not with the division. And we'll go with the same flow that we started. Okay. The Chicago Cubs.
Oh, the Cubbies. Yeah. We'll get to them later. There's a nice thing about them.
Okay. You said over 84.5.
They're
on their way to 77 now.
I really thought the Cubs are on a good trajectory. I really thought
I can understand why you did it, you know.
I mean,
it
once again, reasonable. We didn't assume the Pirates are going to be over the Cubs. That's the thing. I really thought the Cubs had a very good team last year with a little bit of bad luck, and I really thought they improved this year, signing Bellinger again, improving, getting better pitching, getting a better manager.
You know, that's the only thing in this division. You're saying Cubs over. That's it. Nobody wanted to take a risk about NL Central.
I think
because you cannot know nothing about this division.
Exactly.
The fifth and last one is the Mariners. They're on their way to 85. And the number said, is 87.5. You said under.
They'll make it. They'll make it.
The under? They'll make it the under?
Oh, I said under?
You said under.
They'll make that
now they're under.
I think they're gonna make that number. I think if I will be either like correct by half a game or mistaken.
Yeah,
by
it's
half
gonna
a
be
game.
Like that. It's gonna be
that's
like
gonna be game. Very close.
Yeah, they did some good moves.
They did a lot of good moves.
But they have the worst offense in baseball.
And the best pitching.
Exactly, it's a shame for them.
But now having Arozarena might change a little bit.
I mean, it was the same thing when they made the playoffs 2 years ago in that Astros series where they just...
It was the closest...
They went like 16 innings without scoring a run.
Right.
Yeah, in that 18, one, 18, 18. Yeah, that was just...
Yeah.
Yeah, but Houston had like 2 runs.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem
close,
like...
It was a very close 3-0.
Yeah, it was, but it doesn't seem like they fixed their
like
problem.
When the Yankees beat the Mets in 2000 4-1. And Jeter said that was like the hardest hardest near sweep we had ever.
The sweep that Houston had the series afterwards was a little bit more.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But that's the thing. I think Seattle is still... I don't think they are the team to beat. I think the Astros have a very streaky, a very problematic season. All the bad things. Because every team has bad and good. I think the Astros... A lot of the problems they have a terrible home field, they have streaky things, they have players that tend to be injured, they have Alvarez who's hard time... I mean, the only thing they have consistently is Altuve. Altuve will hit in when he gets... He will retire at his 50, when he's 50 and he will still get, 300 average every year. So it's... I mean, Bregman started the year terribly, he's better now. I mean... I think the Mariners are going to be there. I just don't know if they're going to be just above or just below.
As of now, you have another point. You have three or five. Let's move to Ofer. Okay, he said the Blue Jays will be under 86.5.
Well, they're under everything. They're under 82, they're under 81.
They're on the way to 74.
A disappointing season from Bo Bichette. I mean, it's
okay. Yeah, I know.
Sounds like a wasted year. And
honestly, I when we started, I got him and Guerrero in the fantasy, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna go through you like a laxative.
Vlad is doing really good.
Vlad is still on my team. Bo Bichette was kicked out.
He's a free agent next year, no, Vlad?
Yeah.
What are they
both of
do?
Them, I think.
What are they gonna do?
I don't know. And Bo Bichette was like, for me, was like, in my opinion, he was the MVP. Because I'm looking at real value. I mean, maybe he doesn't hit the home runs and the thing, but he's crucial because if he's hitting, the team wins. And he's like, I don't know what happened.
I think he might be done for the year with the calf injury. But
do you think it's some sort of nagging injury that eventually, because, you know, it's like he didn't play good for 2 months and then they say, oh, apparently he was playing injured.
Might need time for a change of scenery. I think with the Blue Jays is that they've had this core for a little bit now.
Yeah,
and
I think Yoni always says that they're too comfortable. They're too comfortable. They don't challenge themselves. They feel like if they got... we almost made the wild card. It means we're good. Next year we're going to...
They think of themselves too much, and I don't like their manager.
No, Schneider, yeah. I think he came on in the middle of the year as an interim, and I think that gave him a boost. Coming off of people were tired of Gibbons. And I don't think he has control much over his team. And I think they're just kind of lack.
Ofer also said, so he's got 1 point. He also said that the Yankees will be over 91.5.
At this point, is he correct?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's 95 now.
Isn't it crazy how they have the best record in baseball right now?
They
have the best record right now.
They are
move ahead of
the yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. So Ofer two for two now. Right. And
what is that? White Sox. He gave them an over.
He gave the White Sox over 61.5. 61.5 sounds like
first
a very
of all,
low
please,
number.
Please.
Sounds like a very low number.
They won't get to 50.
And he said he has a friend who is the White Sox fan. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's why I went with that.
Yeah, because he can't. Okay. Let's just say his friend is a very sad person this time.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean,
what happened?
No, we know that, okay, listen. Everybody knew the White Sox are coming to this year not as a good team. Everybody thought that, I mean, we laughed at him when he said that, mm-hmm. because we knew the White Sox are going to be down. The White Sox are, at this point, well, they won.
Can you do the numbers? Because,
first of all, they won. They have, their last 10 is 9-1.
Yeah.
It was after 21.
Yeah, the last 22 is 21-1.
Yeah.
1-21.
So they are now 239. 239. That puts them off at 38 yeah. wins.
They won't get 50.
Okay. Offer went with Arizona under, which is a nail biter as of now.
Yeah, it will be a nail biter to the end.
Yeah, it's 83.5.
They're very good. They actually are winning this. They have a 8-2 winning streak. We last. So they are streaking up, will streak down.
They're on the way to 86 now. So now the under is not good for him.
Yeah, but it will be 80, what? 83?
83.5, yeah.
He's going to probably miss it by a head.
It's going to be a
banger. Yeah.
Okay, and his last one was the Angels.
Angels.
It's going to be an nail-biter also. It's 72.5. So offer has 3 points also, mm-hmm. just like you.
All right.
Okay, we move to me.
No, we are about to do a sidetrack because okay. I want to play you a nice song.
Oh,
we haven't done that in a while, mm-hmm. and this one is we have a new segment, new for you, which I bring a song either about baseball, connected to baseball, something to do with baseball, or a song that the words base and ball appear in. Does anyone know who Steve Goodman is?
Steve Goodman?
No. Yeah.
I know Steve Bartman.
No. Steve Goodman. Steve Garvey. He's a folk singer, I think.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, it's the year is 1983. It's important.
Okay.
Steve Goodman is a folk singer. He was a Chicago White, and he was a Cubs fan. Mm. And he wrote a song, and the song is called A Dying Cub Fan's Last Request. Now, I have to say, I always play the part that I'm going to read, but I have to say, this whole song is a joy, because it's like, there's a lot of puns and plays and stuff, and so it says this is like an old Cub fan lay dying, da-da-da, and they all gathered around him, and they put the cap on his head, and he says, you know, it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go, but before I leave the lineup, there's just one thing that I'd like to know, and this is the chorus, and it's so beautiful. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue. To the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League.
National anthem.
The National League, the doormat. So it's so beautiful. The Chicago are the blues, they play in blue, but they play the blues in Chicago when baseball comes around.
Double meaning.
Yeah, the ivy-covered burial ground, that's mm-hmm. also a good name. Mm-hmm. They bring fatigue, and they are the doormat of the National League. And it's so beautiful. I mean, he told his friends, you know, the law of average says anything that happened will can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won the National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. So it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful song. But it's also, it's kind of like the fan who still holds on, despite the fact that, and we talk about the Chicago White Sox fans. I mean, why do they still come to a game?
Was he alive in 2016?
That's a good question, and the answer is no, actually. Oh, he died 2 years after writing the song.
Oh, do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy. But now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League. He told his friends.
Yeah, he was very. He had leukemia. He died very young. Yeah, 36.
Worse.
Okay, so that was happy talk.
Yeah.
And let's go to your predictions, Yoni, right. And see and see where you stand.
Okay. I said, well, as we already said, I said that Cleveland will be under.
And you were wrong.
Yeah. Cleveland, by the way.
Yes.
When I checked it out, was on their way to they were on their way to 99.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's the highest that we had.
Yeah.
We have no team as of now that is going to be with 100 wins.
Mm.
Okay. The last time we didn't have a 100 win team
was
2014. The Angels with 98 was the highest then, and that's it.
Oh, so, it could change, but it's a very strong season all around.
Yeah,
everyone's we're losing to everyone.
Well, my next team is the Dodgers.
You went over and you were right. I guess.
I went under and I'm going to be right.
Oh, you were
103.5.
The Dodgers have a bad year. Dodgers, again, for once standard. Again, a lot of teams would love to be winning 92 games and say that was a bad season. But we're talking about the richest, glitzest club in... So, but they will be in the playoffs. So do you think this team can maybe lose the season and win the championship?
I don't know. I mean,
because that's the only thing they have left at this point.
I keep thinking back to that series against the Diamondbacks, that they got swept. And I know they have Otani now, but it just seems like something they can't shake off. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. They won 100 and something games and lost and swept by the Pirates on 5. I think they lost at home and lost 2-1.
Yeah, it was 5-1. I think it was 6-1.
Yeah, 5-1. 3-0 and 2-1. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The Dodgers... They win big. They win they win 100 out of 162 games, but they can't be defeated in a 5 or 7 game series. And basically, that's how they roll for the past 10 years. They have not managed to win one playoff season.
Same problem as the Yankees.
Yeah, well, same problem as everyone. I mean, playoff is a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
My next team is the Giants.
Alrighty.
Well, you can never know that. It's 81.5. I went over. Here they're like 80. I don't know now. Maybe
they are 500 points. Yeah. So they're going to be 82. 81.
So now it's under 81.5. I went over.
Again, that's amazing. I mean, the number 4 team in the NL West is 500. We're not used to that. We're used to, you know...
Dodgers and nothing.
Mm. Dodgers, then somebody else very, very close, but like 85, and then everything else is under 500.
Something, yeah.
So it's a very competitive season for a lot of teams. I mean, do you think the Rangers, you're surprised by what happened there? I was surprised last year. This year is
That's what makes this. You're surprised last year, so did you expect regression? And the way they looked, they played so well. I mean, you still have a chance of getting
everything
DeGrom
clicked.
Back.
Everything clicked. I think Evan Calder and Adolis Garcia, and of course Seager on a playoff is always good.
Yeah,
and Carter was not good.
The Carter's pitching, been hurt. You know, he definitely regressed a little. Langford hasn't been on fire. Pitching hasn't been up to standard. Eovaldi has dropped down a little bit.
Yeah, Eovaldi's dropped down. Lorenzen went there and went away.
They've tried Leiter out a few times now this year, and he isn't ready to take the next step.
To me, that's the thing. Last year was an anomaly.
Yeah.
It really feels like last year was...
It's a bit like we had with the Giants 3 years ago.
Right, exactly. Where everyone...
They surprised everyone.
They were on a downward slope, and they won 107 games. Yeah. Carry on, please, sir.
Okay, my next one is the Athletics.
It's really from offense.
It's kind of like you expect them to be in the same place the White Sox are, especially with everything that goes there. But they have such good players. They have such good bullpen. They have such good...
Rooker?
I mean, yeah, that's...
I'm surprised they're holding on to him.
Yeah, I thought it would
I
be
mean, that's today. Amazing. The way that Oakland keeps on getting those good players, giving good years. I mean, nobody would say 400 season is a good season, but considering the fact that the White Sox are going to be sub 250, this is amazing. Yeah. I mean, if I was an Oakland Athletic fan, I would say, like, where did everybody go? But other than that, I said, man, I really like my team this season, considering what was the alternative.
Yeah. So, my last one.
Yes, please.
Is the Phillies. Over yeah, the Phillies.
You know, you were here like 2 or 3 years ago, and you said to us, look at the Phillies. And we said to you, they have a... You know, they have the greatest living, greatest active player of modern time.
Who?
Nick Castellanos. Oh. Yeah, he's the greatest. He's like the most amazing player of. He had like he just broke last month. He broke a streak of 414 games without getting graded by an error.
Yeah, finally.
And that goes to prove that Michel Ocelotoye. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't do anything in offense. I mean,
have to stand, and that's
And that's the I mean, that's the thing about defense.
It's especially like in the outfield.
Everything. I mean, we have like the Mets have two corner, the first and third, which everyone says they're not there for their defense. Mm. Well, the guy gets the ball, he throws the ball to first, the ball is in the dirt, he gets if he digs it out, and you said, what's the problem? We have two good offense, and then they do those one or two things like. They don't reach the ball in time. They make a bad decision. And then you say, oh, yeah, now I remember why we don't let... So that's the same thing. He would catch, like, 8 out of 10. But those two balls, there's, like, every other good outfielder would have catched them. Mm-hmm. He just moves wrong. He reads it wrong. He doesn't know. And occasionally that ball would drop down with a man in third or second. And occasionally that would be in October and you would lose the series. But the Phillies, so far, the Phillies are very, very good. So what did you say about them?
Over 89.5.
Yeah, you're there.
They've been struggling lately.
Yeah, but they'll get out.
Yeah, I think it's the down before the up. They are on way, they are struggling, they're on way to 96.
Yeah.
They will probably be a 100 team. You mark my word, and that kills me to say that.
Suarez has regressed a lot.
Suarez,
Ranger Suarez.
I also think last year's was
similar. Yeah, in terms of he started out hot,
punching over his weight. Yeah, he had a good season, but they have solid pitching.
They do. Christopher Sanchez,
Nola. That they have solid pitching. They have a very, very dangerous lineup, top to bottom, with even Stott and obviously Baum. Castellanos and Baum. So we have like 1, 2, 6, 7.
How did Real Muto get back? On his injury.
He's coming along.
So I think they're still on their way up. Okay, so
nobody's winning.
So what did you get? Three wins
and two losses, yeah.
No, it remains to be seen, be seen. Before we carry on, I have a riddle for you, a puzzle, a question. I have selected a player.
I need you now.
Please, guys in the gallery who can see who I'm looking at, don't make any noises.
No, they can see. Oh,
yeah, okay. So I will tell you what he did. He started playing at the year of their Lord, 1987.
Long time ago.
Played for the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. He won a championship.
Singular.
A championship. The letter A.
Okay.
He has 4-time Silver Sluggers. He is in the Hall of Fame. And
I think I know. Thought he played for more teams too.
Yeah, okay. No. So if you know, tell
me. No, I don't know if I know. Is it the Crime Dog? Fred McGriff?
No.
He played for Tampa.
Fred McGriff, I think, played for much more.
That's what I thought. But when you said that you were surprised, I thought maybe.
Fred McGriff, well, I see him here as a Padre, a Blue Jay. So once again, we're talking about the guy who started with the Braves at 1987. He finished with the Mets at about... he didn't finish with the Mets. He went back to the Braves afterwards. And he won a World Series. He won 4-time Silver Sluggers, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, is this like a trick question? Because a four-time Silver Slugger, so he was a pitcher. Is it Glavin?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my! I never.
The next two hints would be that he has a World Series MVP, and he has two Cy Youngs.
Last one.
Yeah, dude. Come on! It was gonna be obvious, but I'm looking for
a slugger.
Yeah, I bow to your supreme intelligence. I was like, I said Yoni would never get it, but I didn't count on the ace in the hole. Mm. Okay, so before we continue, Yoni, you have some interesting stat to hit us with. You have a laugh.
I have a laugh.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be interesting. We haven't had one of those in many years.
Yeah. Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
Had more Grand Slams than Prince Fielder.
Mm.
Okay. Which had more inside-the-park home runs than Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot.
Wait up. Which has less home steals than Babe Ruth. And the last one. Which has the same shutouts as Pedro Martinez. That's it. Now we want the numbers. I can give you the numbers now.
Boom.
Now I'll give you the numbers.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Rick Anderson one was a kid. Okay.
Look, Bumgarner have two Grand Slams.
Yeah, that I can... That's because a Grand Slam is you need a lot of things to happen. But of course you don't expect a pitcher to
have two.
Yeah.
So has two. Prince Fielder is only... One, okay? Yeah.
But the fact that Prince Fielder managed to run those four bases twice. And Ricky Henderson once?
Only once.
I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ricky Henderson stole home four times. Babe Ruth did it 10 times.
Wow.
And Babe Ruth and Pedro Martinez both has 17 shutouts. This thing you can...
Again, different time. Mm-hmm. But again, this is insane. This is really insane. Because I personally I prefer Ricky Henderson over Babe Ruth because I like the running and the thing, and now he says Babe Ruth stole home twice. Not much happened the following persons have been placed on the IL and most of them has finished the season. Adbert Alzulay, which we like because he's a Moroccan.
The vegetable guy.
Yeah, the vegetable guy. Brasdar Graterol has a grade 1 hamstring strain. You know, the doctor looks at it and said, that's a grade 1 hamstring strain. Grayson Rodriguez from the Orioles. Luis Renjifo. Oh, dear. Luis Renjifo finished his season ending. Mm-hmm. That's bad. He was actually playing for whatever they were letting him. Wilmer Flores is done. Lance McCullough Jr. no longer expected to pitch. And Jesus Luzardo still 6 weeks from throwing. And the greatest thing is Ryan Presley has thrown enough innings that he's now past the option threshold. I mean, I love those. If you throw X games, then we're going to give you a next option for next season. So
Verlander's not getting there. And so that's good for the Mets. They don't have to pay part of that salary next year.
Oh, that's good. He's not getting the minimum. Yeah, Verlander is still. I mean, they still have him on the 15 days, but they kept on rolling that thing over and over. Anything on your side?
On the other side, Max Fried is getting back.
Oh, yeah, Max Fried got back. It was less serious than we thought. And
good thing for Israel team.
Well, technically, it's never... Yeah. Is. Okay, yeah. But...
The Twins placed a statue of Mauer outside the ballpark.
That's nice.
They did?
Yeah.
That's my favorite Twins player.
How many Twins players are there?
Killebrew.
Yeah, well...
Astudillo.
Yeah. Mm. Now
I have an interesting. It's not news, but it's something I learned today, and that will lead us to the next segment.
Also, I have one more thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but
probably not.
Framber Valdez missed a no hitter.
Oh yeah, with one out and now one Corey Seager.
Yeah,
this is interesting.
He missed the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard he had one. Okay, this will lead us to the next segment. And Garrett Crochet, who was not traded. Mm-hmm. Turns out there was a good reason, and everybody thought he would be traded. The reason he was not, well, I don't, we don't know why he was not traded, but apparently he would demand if he is traded, and they want him to play in the playoffs, they have to sign him for an extension. Now, obviously, he's under control, he's into arbitration, he doesn't want to be traded, and then the new team would say, okay, we don't want to pay you, and da-da-da, and they may win because he was traded mid-season. And so he says, you want me to pitch in the postseason? You need to offer me an extension. And that's like, dude, first of all, that's probably the reason he's now he's still a White Sox.
You need to offer you an extension? You can offer something stupid. He said no.
No. He demanded a contract extension before agreeing to pitch in the postseason in the event of a mid-season trade. I've never heard of that. I don't know whether or not this is the reason he was not signed. I don't know whether this is...
Sounds like that.
Yeah, everyone thinks that. I mean, is that a new thing? I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, obviously there might be, but...
I think of, in a certain way... I can relate it to Matt Harvey's situation when he was coming back from a dead arm, and it was in the 2015 year, whether they were sure whether or not to push him past this innings limit.
Given an inning pitched limitation, which he then revoked because
Then he went out there, he pitched great, and then he wasn't the same ever since.
Exactly, funny thing. That's the same thing that happened with Santana. Was also on a pitch limit, and then he broke it for the no-hitter. And every agent has an inning break. I mean, there's a lot of things that people say now. Why do you... We all know the 100 pitches limit is not... So why do you still stick to it? Mm-hmm. It's in the contract. Agents demand it. You signed and you... And you say that you are going to honor not putting the pitcher in over X innings, X pitches, etc., etc. To me, it's but such a thing. I mean, that's like the dream of every pitcher. That's what a good. Sign whatever they offer you. Excel in the playoffs. Go for the, I don't know, the Dodgers. Win a series. Get an MVP for that series for pitching. Name your price. Mm. I mean, I think, no? Yoni? You're the money guy?
Well, he's scared of it. This is his first full year as a starter. Mm. And he has injury history, and I think he just wants security. But I don't know if he's done... He doesn't have as much of a sample size to demand that, especially with 2 years left in control. White Sox were fine, I think, waiting for the offseason to see if they can get anything with more value.
I think that more than that. They look for a bigger market.
Mm. Probably.
This was a seller's market, though.
Yeah, it was. We actually called it seller's market. That was the episode of the title of the previous episode. But the thing is, what I thought about this request by Gerard Crochet, you know what I thought about it?
What?
It's bizarre.
How bizarre?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. It's so bizarre that we're going to have our special man, our man on the mission, our guy who does... I don't know, Elad Lifnei, and listen to this. There's a Bobby Ventura cameo, Ryan Pepiot, I have no idea what he says there, and how much would you get if you would bet that the White Sox would lose 21 straight?
That's interesting.
And that's all going to be very bizarre, and he's going to do it because somebody has to.
Yeah. Wow. How bizarre. Go Sanders! How
bizarre. השבוע נחזור לאחד מרגעי הביזאר הזכורים בתולדות הליגה, המערב, איך לא, את הניו יורק מטס. הקבוצה יצאה בסוף השבוע האחרון לסדרה של 3 משחקים באנהיים, בתחילתו של מסע מפרך של שבוע וחצי בחוף המערבי. מהמשחק הראשון שנערך ביום שישי, נהדר שדר הפליי-ביי-פליי הקבוע של האנג'לס, רשת השידור החליטה להפקיד את המשחק בידי הפרשן ושחקן העבר מרק גוביזה, והמאמן ושחקן העבר, בובי ולנטיין, שאימן את המץ בין השנים 96-2002. ולנטיין אמנם הגיע עם המץ לוורלד סיריס בשנת 2000, אך הוא כנראה זכור יותר מכל בזכות אירוע יוצא דופן שהתרחש ביוני 99 במשחק של הקבוצה מול טורונטו. במהלך ההערכה באינינג ה-12 במשחק, יצא המנג'ר להתווכח עם הקרו צ'יף על החלטת שיפוט, והורחק מהמשחק לאחר שאמר לשופט מה דעתו עליו. אבל ולנטיין כנראה לא רצה להפקיד את המשחק החשוב בידי עוזריו, והחליט לחזור לדאג-אוט בעודו חובש כובע, מרכיב משקפי שמש כהים וגולת הכותרת, שפה מלאכותי שהורכב משתי חתיכות של דבק שחור. התחפושת הלא מושקעת במיוחד כשלה באופן נחרץ, צוות השידור במשחק זיהה את המאמן חישקל, והוא נאלץ לחזור אחר כבוד ליציאה. במשחק הנוכחי, צוות השידור של האנג'לס ערך מחווה לאותו אירוע מיתולוגי, כאשר באמצע המשחק גוביזה הרחיק במרכאות כפולות את ולנטיין מהשידור, רק כדי לגלות אותו חוזר אחרי הפסקת הפרסומות עם הכובע, משקפי השמש הכהים והשפם המלאכותי. גם צוות השידור של המץ חגג את האירוע וכולם נהנו מקצת נוסטלגיה בטעם טוב. מי שפתחה את העונה וממשיכה אותה בטעם קצת פחות טוב היא השיקגו ווייט סוקס כמובן, הקבוצה עם המאזן הגרוע ביותר בליגה by far. כידוע, השיא לכמות ההפסדים הגבוהה ביותר בעונה אחת בעידן המודרני, שייך לניו יורק מץ של 1962 עם 120 כאלה מתוך 160 משחקים. הווייט סוקס, שכבר לפני מספר שבועות החזיקו במאזן הגרוע במייג'ורס, הצליחו לשפצר אותו אף יותר עם 21 הפסדים רצופים, מה שהשווה את שיא האמריקן ליג להפסדים רצופים בעונה. מישהו חישב שאם היית מאמר $100 על הפסד של הקבוצה בעשירי ביולי, היום שבו התחיל הרצף, לוקח את כספי הזכייה וממשיך לאמר על הפסדים לאורך כל התקופה הזאת, היית מסיים עם מאזן של לא פחות מ-$765,000 ב-27 ימים. בהחלט השקעה כלכלית ראויה. ונסיים עם אחת הפינות האהובות של המדור, הלוא היא פינת הפציעה הביזרית. מה לא היה לנו כאן? ביתה בקולר, אגרוף ללוקר, חתך משבר של בקבוק שמפניה, זיהום מקעקוע ועוד ועוד. ועכשיו הצטרף לפנתיאון גם שחקן הטמפה ביי רייז, ריין פפיו. הפיצ'ר הצעיר הושם ב-15-day-IL לא בשל מתיחה בשריר או נקע בקרסול, אלא בעקבות עקיצת עכביש שגרמה לנפיחות באחת מברכיו. לידי מערכת הפינה הגיעה הקלטת שיחת הטלפון בין פפיו לבין מאמנו קווין קאש, שבה בישר השחקן למאמן על האירוע. אולי נחש אותי נחש, אולי קרס אותי קרץ, קווין ערב טוב מה נשמע, קווין ערב טוב מה נשמע, אני הייתי תחת עץ של הברוש, של הברוש, ואני נבוח.
Okay, so before we have two things to finish. The first one is, of course, we have our faithful listener, our devoted listener, number one fan.
Oh,
Yehuda Rosenkrantz.
Yehuda.
And he's asking us a very interesting question, which I would really, really try to answer as succinctly as possible. Why would you put your slugger leadoff or second? And that would go into a guide to the perplexed.
Wow, that's a nice one.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team?
Yes. Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Okay, Yoni.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you put...
Well, I can answer that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you put your best player batting lead up?
Well, I'm old school.
Yeah.
I think your best player, your slugger...
school is so old, they didn't have history. They have their contemporary ideas.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Your ID card number is one.
I really look at it as something good to say. As I see it, your slugger is supposed to come and clean up the bases.
That's what it's called, the cleanup.
So he's supposed to come fourth. After your leadoff goes up, still second, another guy comes up, gets a single, the third one gets a walk, the bases are loaded, Aaron Judge comes and clean the bases. That's where he's supposed to be.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Two things. Mm-hmm. That's all correct for our first inning. Mm-hmm. Baseball is played 9 innings. Uh-huh. In the 7th inning, you're going to have your number 7 guy who's going to walk. Your number 8 guy is going to strike out. Your number 9 guy is going to lay down a bunt and either sacrifice himself or get the guy into scoring position. And now your leadoff guy comes in with a runner on second, one or two outs, and the game is on the line.
Okay, your leadoff guy is supposed to be your best on-base person. You can ask Billy Bean. Yeah. Your best on-base...
Yes, but you don't want him on base. You want him to hit a two-run home run.
No, of course I do. I want to get to my cleanup guy. So if I have a better on-base percentage guy, he'll get up.
Yeah, but it's two outs. You don't... All right. Okay, so yeah, classic... history of thing. You wanted the highest what is called today an OBP guy
or
guy.
Base stealing.
You had like three. First of all, you wanted him to go on base, doesn't matter how. You want him to be fast so he can then steal a base and put himself in scoring position. You also wanted a guy with what is known as the good eye. You want him to take as much pitches, because that way you could see if the pitcher has the slider today, is he good inside, etc., etc.
That's where the birdies go. That's where the warmies go.
Wow.
That's high, that's where the birdies fly.
That's not in the rule book. And that all went out of the window along with everything else when we started seeing analytics. And analytics came and said, no. You want your highest, best OPS guy over there. You want the guy who hits everything for power. You want him to be there because that way he will get the most at-bats.
It's off.
Most plate appearances. He will get at least 4 or 5 a game. The other guys get between 3 or 4. And that way you can maximize his effort. It was also shown that if you structure the lineup according to OPS and whatever form of OPS you use, with the best on top, and so you would get the maximal output throughout the season. It's not a big issue. I mean, if you don't do it, the difference is about 3 or 4% less effective. But obviously, everyone thinks, yeah, we want the effective guy, we want the big guys, we want the... So you put the Acuñas, you put the big guys on first. Some teams don't. Some teams want they want to put, but again, you put the guy with the best.
I know about the Yankees. I don't know more about other teams, but I know as of our team, you put him second. Third,
yeah,
you put a leadoff guy.
Yeah, so that would, yeah. I think most teams, what they do now is they put a classic or as classic as they can go leadoff guy first, and then they put the judges, the Otanis, they put them second. So they still get
second and third.
Second, because
judge is betting third.
Okay,
mostly
that's the thing. You want you don't want the cleanup guy would be third and not four, and the. The Otanis, let's call them the high home run guys, would be like second.
Yeah, I think when you put him fourth, you don't know for sure if he'll be up in the first inning. When you put him third, you know he'll be up in the first inning.
Right, that's the big problem. You see a lot of times you put the cleanup guy fourth, and he comes as a lead up in the second inning because you went 1-2-3. So that's always the decision, but it's also important. Because you want to balance the lineup. You don't want your fifth, sixth, seventh guys to go on base and then the all-in goes to hell because the 8 and 9 guys are walking out. So you may want to put your classic 8 guy seventh and have a good on-base or good average guy 8. And if you're really lucky and you can put like a very good batter 9th, you know, a guy who has this, like Harrison Bader, for example, who is like, he's not a great hitter, but he knows how to work a count and get good at bats with runners on the bases. And okay, he has a good average with runners on scoring positions. So you want to put him 9th because he may get there. And worst case scenario, he won't ruin your game. He won't kill your inning. And then your lead up comes in. Who can hit the three-run home run.
That's why Tony La Russa
put his pitcher eight.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the pitcher eight and the catcher nine and a lot of things. But
what's the next up?
How do you decide who is the starter, who is a reliever, and who's a closer? So next episode, this is what we're going to talk about.
That's the one before the last one?
Yeah, the last one is the full episode. The next one is going to be interesting. So before we say our goodbyes, I have one final question to you all. This is did we have you for a lineup question?
I don't think so.
All right. So this is interesting.
Okay.
All right. So the visitors who lost horribly started with Brad Wilkerson on center field. Brad Wilkerson was then moved to right field and then was substituted for Hector Almonte and Vic Darensberg, both pitchers. Batting second, after three players, batting second is Jose Vidro on second base.
Cincinnati,
yeah.
He was replaced by Jamie Carroll on shortstop. Okay. Batting third, that's why I'm saying it's interesting, because everyone here was substituted. Batting third was Orlando Cabrera on short.
Oh, man.
He was relieved by Jose Mercedes, the pitcher, and another Jose Macias on right field.
A lot of Jose's.
Number four, right fielder, Vladimir Guerrero Sr.
It's the Montreal. It's the Expos. It's the Expos. Yeah, Vidro and Vlad played for the Expos. Okay, and it has to be 98-99.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
He was relieved by a pinch runner, Andy Chavez, and was then center field. Afterwards, I've lost count. Will Cordero, who was relieved by Joe Vitiello. By the way, you can guess the month by those by what I'm doing here. He was then betting.
It's September.
Exactly, it is September. September. I mean, like there has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 relievers here. Everyone, I think there were like two guys who were not relieved. And one of them was Ron Callaway on left field. Batting seven was Todd Zeal, third baseman. Mm-hmm. He was replaced by Edwards Guzman. Mm-hmm. Then batting eight, and one of the two guys who was not substituted, is Michael Barrett, the catcher. Mm-hmm. The starter was Zach Day. And he was relieved by Claudio Vargas, and then Henry Mateo, pinch hitter, who became second base.
Okay, that's the Montreal Expos.
That is the Montreal Expos. Very good. Okay, that would be quite easier. And
it's a national team.
Yeah.
So, it's supposed to be.
No. Rafael Furcal, shortstop. Okay, so he was replaced by Mike Hessman on third base. Second was Marcus Giles, second base. And was replaced by Jesse Garcia on pinch hitter.
All the Joneses?
Not yet. Gary Sheffield, right fielder. Darren Bragg replaced him. Chipper Jones, who was then was on left field. That should give you an indication. He was replaced by Ryan Langerhans. And the other Jones, no relation, Andrew Jones, center field, stayed the whole nine innings. God.
That's Andrew.
Robert Fick was the first baseman. Mark DeRosa, third base, moved to short. Henry Blanco, catcher. Russ Ortiz was the pitcher. And he was replaced by Darren Holmes, Matt Franco, Ray King, Julio Franco, Kent Merker, Kevin Grybowski, Will Kinnane. God bless September ball.
Julio Franco was first baseman, I think.
Old guy. He played when he was like 47.
Right. Both Francos were... I'm sorry. Darren Holmes pitcher, Matt Franco pinch hitter, Ray King pitcher, Julio Franco pinch hitter, Merker, Grybowski, and Kinnane.
I go with 99.
Mark DeRosa was playing in 99?
I think so.
I think so?
It's later.
I can check.
I feel like it's...
Okay. Don't listen to what he says. You may not know.
But I think I thought Chipper played more left field earlier in his career, too, though.
Oh, earlier in his career? It's between 98 and today.
98 and on.
Yeah, because with the cutoff is 98. So
I don't know if when Sheffield started, it's supposed to be like...
I remember 2005. No, Yankees by then.
That's too late.
That's
too late.
When did he get to the Yankees? 2005?
So it is the Expos. They are playing against the Braves. It is September. The question is, which year? So you're saying?
99.
And you?
2002.
You were so close. 2003.
Oh. Really?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Told you, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I know the
teams. Yeah, you knew the teams. He would never have guessed the Expos and the Braves. Well, Furcal and Sheffield and the Jones brothers and all that. It's pretty easy. But so we covered all the bases.
Yeah.
Then we can go home, but not before I will. You will tell me which team player rookie of the year never played for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll just go with the answer.
All right.
The answer is.
Yes, it is.
E. A native Long Branch, New Jersey, Montefusco.
It's oh, yours. Yes. That's a good game. Rookie. It's a good day for me.
Yeah. Well, he played for the Giants. That's it. He played for the Giants.
He played for the Giants. Very good.
But never for the Phillies.
That's also very good.
Yeah.
Good guy. Good game. Very good. Giants when? When they were in New York, speaking of...
1975.
No. They were not in New York.
No.
Well, that's finishes the game because they finish the broadcast because unlike baseball, we always know when we ended up. You can find us at Baseball Podcast COIL or on YouTube, youtube.com/@acosherhotdog. You can find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, every application, and do whatever you do over there. Guy, it's a pleasure to have you here again. It's like, once again, we feel like professionals here. And but speaking of professionals, we have to thank our executive producer, Chaim Katz. You know, yeah, his son, when he was young, he came to him and he says, Daddy, Daddy, I want the new bikes like my friend has. And he told him, well, and if your friend jumps off the roof, what will happen then? He said, oh, then I can take his bike. you can continue talking to us at Facebook or on the Hoops COIL. Yoni, משהו לאומה לפני שסוגרים?
המתנה שמחה לאיראנים, לכולם.
תודה לכם על ההזנה לאי-כושר הוטדוג, יוני לברי וארז שץ, ובייסבול טוב ישראל.
יאללה ביי. We don't know yet.
Oh, the Mariners, not the Marlins.
No, the Marlins, the Mariners.
I can't bet on the Marlins because my estimation is that the Marlins are going to be destroyed.
You can go on under 20.
No, under 20. They're going to be minus 20 and the team is going to be disbanded and they're going to be kicked out of baseball forever. That's my estimation for them. Okay. How is this bringing us to any news?
Well, I didn't think about that.
You said that the lie is going to connect us to the news?
No.
No, you didn't say that?
No, I said that the White Sox stuff can connect us to the...
Ah, okay, never mind. Okay,